Greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This evening will be our final night message. And we will be considering the theme of time management. Interesting theme. The past few nights we have been meditating on various other themes that are quite related to each other. On the first night we talked about evangelism. And then the second night, we meditated upon friendship. Last night, we looked at BGR, and tonight, we'll be looking at time management. And if you see how the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, tells us to, in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." How many of you feel that you have too little time for everything? Okay, some feel that you have too little time to do the things that you want to do. How many of you feel that you have too much time and you don't know what to do with your time? Okay, only one over there, he feels. Then how about Max? What do you feel? Too much or too little time?
Just nice.
Just nice, huh? So you are making full use of your time. No time is wasted. Everything is just nice.
Yes.
Okay, very good. That should be the ideal. I mean, hopefully, because at the end of the day, he's not going to answer to me, you know. He's going to stand before the Lord and give an account. And then when God asks him, "How have you used your time?" Then he must say,
"Just nice."
Just nice, okay? Now, the Bible has a lot to say about time. Because God is very interested in how we use our time. We know that before God and from the perspective of God, all things is from God's divine perspective already planned out before the foundation of the world. And the Bible describes a God who is eternal. He is not bounded by space and not bounded by time. But for men, God has so designed that we live in this sphere or this dimension of time, where our life, it is dictated by time. When we are young, we learn how to read the time. We learn to understand the time. We learn to know when it's time to work, when it is time to sleep. So we begin to now become governed by time. And time is such that even our bodies naturally knows how to see the difference in time. This is why there's something called, you know, the people, they say that there's this thing called the body clock. You know when it is time to sleep. You know when it's time to wake up. You can program, you can wire your body clock to follow a pattern of time. And then when you travel to another time zone, your body clock gets upset and it gets affected. Why is that the case? Even though if you sleep a lot, but why would you take a few days to adjust to the time zone of the new place? That's precisely because God has implanted time in us, that we are able to sense time and we know how to use time. It's a very wonderful gift that God has given to us. But this gift of time also means one thing. It means that there is a limit and there is an end to our life on earth. There is limited time, the Bible says. Now, the text which we have in Ephesians chapter 5 is an interesting passage because Apostle Paul here is describing the Christian walk. In Ephesians chapter 4, you notice how Apostle Paul is making now the practical applications of the doctrines he has expounded from Ephesians chapter 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 1 to 3, he has been emphasizing what salvation is. Then from Ephesians chapter 4, he will emphasize the practice, the application. And there are five walks in total that he will describe here in Ephesians chapter 4 onwards. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. The vocation here describes your calling. Walk worthy of your calling, which God has called you unto. Then Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17, he says, walk not as other Gentiles walk. So don't walk like unbelievers would walk. Christians must live differently, distinctly. If unbelievers would waste away their time, Christians cannot live like that. In fact, sometimes it's a shame to Christians that unbelievers have a greater appreciation for time. They try to make full use of their time. We know that King Solomon tells us that for them, it will be to vanity. Every accomplishment, all their achievements would be towards vanity. But they put in a lot of effort. They work very hard. They make use of their time for their own gain, for their own ambition, but it is to vanity. But Christians must not walk as other Gentiles walk. Then when you go on further, in Ephesians chapter 5, Apostle Paul then says, walk as dear children. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Walk in love towards God. And then after that, he will say, walk as children of light, in verse 8. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And after that, then he says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This is the whole context of Ephesians chapter 5, and it's in this context where he says, walk circumspectly. Walk very precisely and accurately. That's the meaning of the word circumspectly. Walk very precisely. Walk very accurately. And how should you walk accurately? By redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so in this context, there are just two things I would like you all to consider this evening with regard to time management. Now, I don't think that when you all come to listen to a message on time management, you are thinking about practical steps of time management, like how you want me to teach you to plan your time. I mean, I can share with you how I plan my time, but different people have different ways how they manage and plan their time. But I don't think that is the most important thing now about, okay, what do you do first? Every Sunday night, you start to plan and prepare for the week ahead. You take out your timetable, your year planner, and then you write down what are the big things that you want to do. So there are these people who say that you start with the big stones first. Big stones meaning the big and the important things that you have to do. Then after you start with the, then you go on with the pebbles. Then after you fill up your timetable with the sand. You know what I'm talking about? You don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay. Because that's not what I'm trying to come here to tell you about. Okay, that is not the time management course that you're here for. It is not a time management course. It's biblically, what does the Bible say about time? What should you understand about time? And so there are just two things I'd like you to understand according to the Word of God. First of all, see the urgency of the time. The Bible says, reading the time because the days are evil. Now, the word time here, there are various words the Bible can use to describe time. Sometimes the word time can describe periods of time, like ages. Or sometimes we see the word ages. So this would describe an epoch or an era in time. Sometimes the word time can describe that. Sometimes the word time can be used to describe seasons. Like there are different seasons in a year. Sometimes the word time can just describe time in general. But the word time here, and in this particular context, is describing time in reference to opportunities. It has the idea of seasons of time, periods in time, but it also has a sense of time which are opportunities that are given to you. And the Apostle Paul is here saying now, redeem the time, these opportunities which are given to you. Because the days, now the word days here is another reference to time. Okay, again, these days can be used in various sense in the Bible. Sometimes it can be used to describe 24 hours. Sometimes it can be used to describe the daytime of the day. Sometimes it can just be used to describe periods and seasons of time in general. And here, I believe, it's used in the general sense. And the two things that the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here regarding the time is that, first of all, you need to see the urgency of time because time is short. And then secondly, not only is time short, time is also filled with trouble. It is troublesome. That is the meaning of evil here. Okay, these are troublesome times. These are troublesome days. Time is short. And I hope you do not miss this whole thought throughout the Bible. Why do we have to walk very carefully? Because you have limited time. Time is short. This is something that the Bible keeps emphasizing over and over again. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, Apostle Paul simply declares, you all have studied the book of 1 Corinthians, right, in your Sunday morning worship, time is short. That's what the Bible says. Time is short. You remember the psalmist Moses in Psalm 90, describing the years that we have, the days that we have. He says in Psalm 90, from verse 10 onwards, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet if their strength, labor and sorrow, for it soon cut off, and we fly away. And Moses in Psalm 90 verse 9, he also says, our days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Now the word tale there means story, but very specifically it has the idea of a sigh. It means that it's a short story. It's a sigh that a person just breathes out. That is what our life is like. Our years, our days, it is just like a sigh that a person breathes out. And this is why Moses says, number our days. Do you realize how short time is? Now, one of the advantages of youths or youthfulness is that you seldom worry about how much time you have left, how much time you have used. You seldom think about all these things. How many of you really think about how many more years do I have left to live? Okay, Max never put out his hand. He put out his hand to touch his chin. Huh? But he never put out his hand. But how many of you actually will think about how many years you have left to live? Seldom do you think about that because you just go to school. You only think about how many years of secondary school left. I can't wait for it to be over. Right? Then after that, some of you going to your next phase of studies. I can't wait for the next phase of studies to go be over. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for that. You are just expecting to pursue your interest, your ambition. Seldom would people stop and think about how many years have passed. No, do you realize one thing? That as you grow older, do you realize that the adults, not that you're not adults, okay? I'm not meaning it in an insulting way, but the older people, okay? They no longer put as much value to birthday celebrations as children and youths do. You all have special birthday celebrations, right? Remember, celebrations at McDonald's? Never, then you invite your classmates, come together, then you all wear the McDonald's hat, then everyone eat McNuggets together. You never do that? Okay. You all also, later on, have Sweet 16. Sweet 16, right? No Sweet 16, ah? No birthday at 16 years old is like big, very big, important Sweet 16. Huh? It's American thing, is it? Okay, it may be an American thing. I remember in secondary school, I actually had a friend in Sec 4 who on her 16 years old birthday, she invited the whole class to Sizzler. Sizzler, you don't know what is Sizzler? Okay, it's like Jack's Place, you know Jack's Place? Okay, it's another kind of Jack's Place. Not Saizera. That one is today's one. Sizzler is my generation kind of Jack's Place. Jack's Place was still around then, but they had also something called Sizzler. But I think now Sizzler has closed down already. And so she invited the whole class to Sizzler because it's a 16 years old birthday. Then later on, 18 years old, also very important year. Why is 18 years old important? Because you can drive car, is it? Legal age of what? Alcohol, everything, driving car also. Then after that, 21 years old is very important. Why is 21 years old important? Adult. 21 years old means adult, is it? Okay, that is the standard you set. Okay, that's the rule. I mean, that's your own rule. But actually, the Bible never says 21 or what. No, just to let you know, the Bible says that until such time where you're independent, that means when you leave and you cleave, you are actually still under the authority of your parents. Okay? So, but anyway, you realize that those who are younger seem to put a lot of importance, place a lot of importance to their birthdays. But once you reach a certain age, and I'm not sure when, I would say maybe if I try to think back, when I was maybe 28 or 29, suddenly, actually, birthday has all along not been very important to me, okay, to me. But when I reach 28, 29, I sometimes lose track already. People ask you, how old are you? I got to think for a while. Let me see, when was I born first? Then I calculate. Okay, then I calculate from there. Okay, that's how old I am. Because somehow you just lose track. If you ask those who are older also, you ask them, when is your wife's birthday? Then they also, actually, I also can't remember. They also lose track already. Now, why is it so that after certain years, you just seem to lose track of time? Because you have already spent so many years of your life on earth, and suddenly, there are some things which become less important and some things which are more important. And now time is placed into greater perspective. It is not so much just the years itself per se. Like now I'm 16 years old, right? Not the number itself per se that matters already. It no longer becomes that. It no longer becomes, oh, now I am 30 years old, the number itself that matters. But each year you live, you soon realize that you have 1 year less of God's appointed time for you on earth. And you see now time is very short. My life is going to end soon. And I need to start to think about what matters in life. What is important in life. But do you only have to wait until when you are 30 years old? Then you reach this age that you now realize how important time is. You don't have to. You need to realize now that time is short. You know, there are many ways to try to impress upon your heart to make you see how time is short. One way is just to do some calculations. Now, how many years you have? If the Bible says that we have 80 years, so someone did a calculation like this and then drew up actually a whole box. You know, it's actually interesting. You can download this whole chart on the internet where they break up your life into weeks. So 80 years, you have about 4,160 weeks. So you go and paste this box on your wall and then you go and color and then you see how many weeks have already been used up and how many weeks left. And you realize that it's not a lot left. Another way some would do it is to look at the time that you have each day. If you break up your day into pockets of time, okay, taking away the time that you sleep, you have about 100 blocks of 10 minutes of functional time. Okay, about 100 blocks of 10 minutes of time you can use, which is actually not a lot. And so again, you can go and do a chart. Then you go and color away. Maybe you say, red color, I spend time this 10 minutes studying. Then blue color, I did nothing. And then you just go back. Maybe you just go and think back yesterday. What actually did I do yesterday? How much time have I spent on this or that yesterday? Okay, yesterday you were in church camp. I mean, youth camp, teens camp. But even in teens camp, how much time do you spend doing you don't know what you have done? Sometimes you realize that, all these things. But the greatest way that a person realizes how time short is when God shows it to us. And oftentimes, He shows it to us in death. You know, when Moses wrote Psalm 90, where he says, teach us to number our days. You know that the whole context there, he described death. And I believe that Moses was very familiar with death. Because when he was wandering the wilderness with the children of Israel, You know, the Bible says that everyone who is 20 years and above, because of their faithlessness, they will die in the wilderness. You do a little bit of calculation, Moses had to bury 40 people a day in the wilderness. When Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, one thing that he used to impress upon young men, and I think this is the most important advice for young people, is to realize that this thing called the evil days cometh. And the evil days that Solomon says is referring to death, your old age. You look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Okay, just turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 1. Now this is perhaps the most important advice for young people. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Shall we read this together? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, ready reading. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, when he says here, the evil days come not, this evil days refers to the years of old age. And when the years draw nigh, and these are years where you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And Solomon says, in light of those days, remember now. Now, evil days here doesn't mean wicked days. Okay? It just means very troublesome days. And these troublesome days, he will go on to explain from verse 2 to verse 8, that refers to your time of old age and death. He used the picture to describe this time of old age and death. Now, Solomon, when he was writing Ecclesiastes, we believe that it was towards the end of his life. He would have already experienced the pains of old age. And he would see how so useless many of his own accomplishments and achievements were. All his vain pursuits are just emptiness, vanity. And the question is, do you really have to wait until you're old before you realize that you will die? Do you know? Are you conscious of this truth that one day your life on earth will end and that time is really short? I don't think I have to use this illustration because I'm sure you're already familiar with it and you know it. You know that death can come at any time. Not just only 3 score years and 10 and by reason of strength, 4 score years. But you can see even those who are young, those who are healthy and strong, they can just suddenly die. Their life just ends like that. Do you really have to wait until you are old before you are conscious of that? Now, death should not frighten us for Christians. Right? It should not lead us into despair. But it must make us appreciate the amount of time we have left on earth and how we are going to use it. Time is short. Now, if time is short, it's one thing. But Apostle Paul goes on to also tell us that not only is time short, there's limited time. He also says that the days are evil. Okay? That's why Apostle Paul, you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, where he says here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 16. Not only is time short, but the days are evil. Now here he's describing these days as troublesome time, as days that are filled also with sin, with wickedness in this context, different from how Solomon used it. And the reason why we know that is because you look at the whole context. Remember how he contrasted how the Gentiles used to walk. Then earlier on, when you look at verse 3 and verse 4, Apostle Paul says, walk in love. In time past, this is how others walk. Ephesians 5 verse 3 and 4, fornicators and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named amongst you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Okay, these are what would characterize these very evil days. Not only is time short, but these are the things that would surround our days. filthiness, foolish talkings, jestings, which are not convenient. The word convenient there has the idea of some things that are not appropriate. What are these evil days that surround us? Not only that, Apostle Paul characterizes these evil days as a days that are influenced by drunkenness. In verse 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with spirit. Now I here believe that he's talking about alcohol, but he's also talking about the effects of alcohol. It results in a person losing his mind, losing his soberness. He comes under the influence of alcohol. And this is a very good picture of how a person comes under the influence of the world. These days are evil. Not only is time short, but it's very troublesome time. And there are Christians who will live their short time like that. You just think about it. Apostle Paul is saying that, you know, these are things which were once named amongst Gentiles, but should not be named among you anymore. But yet we see so much of these characteristics and traits even among Christians. Are your thoughts, are your words filled with foolishness, filthiness, foolish talking? Right? That's what Apostle Paul says. Empty, vain, meaningless jokes and empty talk. Things which are not becoming of a Christian. Are your days filled with these kind of things? You know, just now I was describing how Moses says that we spend our years as a tale that is told, a story. In many ways, it is very true because all of us, we have a story that we are telling with our lives. And you know that there are many different kinds of genres of books that you all like to read. What kind of books do you like to read? What kind of stories do you like to read? Is it now, what are the books for the guys you read? Fantastic or Famous Four or something like that? Is that all these things? Is this book, these books anymore? No, the what Five or something? Hardy Boys? No, Hardy Boys. Then the girls, they read Sweet Valley, is it? Something like that. No, those are the books the girls in my school used to read at, when they're 16. Huh? Now no more already, is it? Times have changed, huh? So, Brian, what books do they read now? Oh, Divergent. Okay, Divergent, I see. What else? The Mockingbird thing, right? Huh? There's a Mockingbird, something like Mockingbird, is it? Mockingjay, not Mockingbird. Okay. Is Mockingjay a bird? Okay, so it's a bird lah, so it's a Mockingbird lah. Okay, but anyway, y'all read these kind of books. So, Max, what is your favorite book? Okay, very good. Okay, very good. I mean, it's alright, why y'all laugh at him? Which book is your favorite? Psalms, very good. Can you read this book? I don't know. So many of you may be interested in different kinds of books. Some you like history, some you like adventure. Maybe you're going to read romance also, which may not be very appropriate. But maybe some would like also just a comedy. You know, if your life is a story that is told, what would it be like? Foolish talking. Maybe some of you, your life is a comedy. Right? You're very funny. Every time somebody thinks of you, he thinks of all the funny jokes. This person is a joker. Any joker amongst us? Noah. Huh? Noah Sim. Where's Noah Sim? Are you a joker? Wait, are you the brother of Samuel?
Yes.
Oh, is it? Is he a joker? Okay, never mind. So, you know, there are some whose life are characters like this. And they are very happy to let people know, I am a joker. But it's going to be very sad if your whole life at the end of it is just one big joke. One big joke. I mean, it's okay to joke, right? Don't get me wrong. It's okay to tell jokes, but it's going to be very sad if your whole life is all a joke. You know, there are some many famous people who are like that. They used to make people laugh. They are comedians. They tell a good joke, but their life, it ends in tragedy. Remember this Robin Williams, right? He acted in many movies. He made many people laugh. And then after that, he was filled with depression. He committed suicide. Why is it the case? They soon realized that all this earthly laughter doesn't make them happy. Well, this is where you have to think very seriously, because the Bible says your life is a tale that is told. You're going to tell a story. And are you going to fill your life with fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting? These are the years that are told. And the Bible says that these are days that are evil. And some, their whole life will be characterized by these things. You see, the Bible is very accurate. Some, their whole life would be characterized by fornication. Their whole life would be adultery, uncleanness. Their whole life would be covetousness. It is very sad if their whole life is defined by greed. And I believe one of the saddest things in life is not where a person tries and keeps pursuing after something and then he gets it, but it's where he pursues after something and then after he gets it, he realizes it doesn't satisfy him. Have you experienced that before? In just little things, you chase and you chase and you chase, then you think, you imagine your mind, once I get it, oh, this would be the satisfaction and the feeling that I get. Then after, when you get it, you realize, how come I don't get the satisfaction that I thought I would get? And you feel that your whole life is so empty. This is the saddest thing a person can ever experience. You know, it's sad, you know, if you chase, and then you don't get it. But it's sadder still if you chase and then you get it and you realize it doesn't satisfy you. And the worst thing would be for a person to spend his whole life chasing after it. And only at the end of his life, then he realized that all that he has been chasing for means nothing. Covetousness. There are those who would characterize their days by these things. Drunkenness. The influence of all that is in the world. So what then is the answer? Seeing the urgency of the time. Apostle Paul tells us, very simply, redeem the time. So there's a second thought I would like us to consider. Okay? Now, the children of darkness, the children of disobedience, they'll be engaging in these things, they'll be pursuing after the works of darkness, okay? Covetousness, uncleanness, shame. And these are sinful things. Now, before I go on to redeeming the time, I just want to make a note. You realize that covetousness is a sin. But some of the things that they may be coveting after may not be inherently sinful in itself. For example, they may be covetous over a position to be successful. They may be pursuing after a job. The job itself may not be inherently sinful. But the covetousness, the idolatry that they make out of it, is a sin. And that's where youth have to be very careful, because some of the things that you chase after, you may say, what's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with this thing that I do. But your heart, you keep pursuing after it, you're blinded to it, it is an idol to you, it is a sin. So what should we do? Redeeming the time. Now the word redeeming here is interesting, because literally it means to buy back. Oftentimes this word is used to describe the purchasing of a slave from the market. In fact, this is also the word that is used to describe the purchasing that God has done in the purchasing of us unto himself, the buying back. So it's quite interesting, also a bit odd, that this word is used in reference to time. Can time really be bought back? Now, I don't think Apostle Paul is saying time can be bought back in that you can go back in time and undo those mistakes you have made and relieve those decisions that you have made. I don't think that's what he's saying here in redeeming the time. But he's saying that you can redeem the time. It is as if you are buying back the time when now you live very consciously of your years that you have ahead. In other words, one thing I'd like to remind Christians is that there are some who fall into despair because of past failures or past mistakes. Now, I've already wasted so many years of my life. It's okay, I lose hope already. I'm so useless. There are some who have this kind of very depressing feeling and they think that I can no longer be useful. But Apostle Paul is really telling us, think about the years you have left ahead. What is past is past. But how can you use your years that are ahead unto the Lord? That is redeeming the time. Don't think about what is gone or past, but from now on, realizing how little time you have left, what can you do? So a few things he says here. First, walk circumspectly. What is redeeming the time? In verse 15, he says, "See then, ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The word circumspectly here means very precisely and very accurately. It means that you must carefully think through the path that you want to take, the life that you want to live. Think through. I suspect that if I were to ask you, what do you want out of your life at this point? You may say, I do not know. And I know that because sometimes I even also ask the FCM students, those who are in university already, and some of them are already in fourth year of university, and they say, they actually, what is your goal in life? What is your ambition in life? And he said, actually, I don't know. I'm just studying because I have to study. I'm just doing this because I have to do this. Then I'm here because I'm here. I don't even know why I chose this course, but it's just so happened now I'm already here. So then I just do what I'm doing. There's no purpose and no clarity in life. And the Apostle Paul says now, be very sober. You know, he used the idea of someone who is waking up. Okay, in verse 14. Now, specifically here, he's using this expression, "Awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He's talking about walk in light. Right? Specifically, that's what he's saying in verse 14. To walk in light. And here he's addressing Christian. Because if they are born again as Christians, they must be walking in the light. See, walking precisely has precisely, walking circumspectly has this idea. You need to be clear. And I don't mean in terms of your worldly ambition. I don't mean of, do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be an engineer? Do you want to be a chef? What do you want to be? I don't mean to have clarity in those things. But do you have clarity in your calling in life? What has God called you to do? What is His purpose for you? Now, you don't have to have clarity in everything, but at least for now, this moment where God has placed you, do you have conviction and clarity in how you walk? No, Christians allow themselves to be sucked into the world when they go through this life without any convictions. The reason why Daniel was able to purpose in his heart and keep his testimony throughout his days in Babylon was because he began his time in Babylon with conviction. Do you have this clarity? Your holiness, your godliness. Walk circumspectly, walk precisely. And this idea of redeeming the time also means one more thing. It means to walk in the Spirit. So walk very precisely, but walk in the Spirit. Walk Spirit-filled lives. See, that's where Apostle Paul contrasted in verse 18. Remember, we looked at that already. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What does wine do to a person? Wine influences a person. It influences your mind. It controls your body. There are people who do not know what they are doing when they are under the influence of alcohol. If you are not filled with the Spirit, if you are not filled with wine, but you are filled with the Spirit, what does it mean? You come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You live Spirit-filled lives. That is how you redeem the time. Would you be led by the Holy Spirit in your thoughts, in your actions? And then Apostle Paul then goes on to say, practically, what does this mean? How can you redeem the time? It is what you put in your life. Look at verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, what is this speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Apostle Paul used a similar expression in the book of Colossians. Okay, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Apostle Paul here says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," or Jesus, "giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Now, the idea is this, that what you put in your life will influence you. If time is short, how should you redeem your time? Think very carefully. Control, determine, decide. What do you want to put in your life? And he's here saying, the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. How? Through the teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In other words, he is saying that the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that you sing must be an outflowing of the word of God that has been dwelling in you. At the same time, what he is also saying is that as the psalms and hymns that you sing are an outflowing of the word of God that dwells in you, it will be an admonishment. It will be a teaching to others who also receive of the same. And there will be this wonderful building up and mutual encouraging of one another through these things. In other words, the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that you speak to yourself must be the word of God. The word of God expressed through songs. These songs are an outflowing of the word of God that dwells in a person's heart. And then as it is an outflowing of it, it continues to speak to you, to remind you, and it encourages you and reaffirms your faith in the word of God. And you see, now instead of a vicious cycle, it becomes a wonderful cycle that keeps building you up in the faith. In other words, Apostle Paul is saying this, think very carefully. Time is short. What do you put in your life? I think you must realize this, that the things that you put in your minds can influence you for years to come. The things that you put in your heart will remain with you for a very, very long time. Think very carefully. What are the things you want to fill your mind with? The entertainment choices, the music you listen to, the shows that you watch. See, these are not where the church is trying to, you know, kill your joy and trying to be so legalistic, setting these rules, what you can do. That's not the purpose of the church. But that's for you. You think very carefully. What kind of lives do you want to have? And you think by filling your lives with these things of the world, are you sure you will not end up like the world and you will not end up living worldly lives? That's right. Apostle Paul says, instead, redeem the time. Fill your heart and fill your mind with the things of Christ. And you would live godly, holy lives. Redeem the time. Time is short. Walk precisely. Walk in the Spirit. Walk Spirit-filled lives. And walk a life filled with the Word of God. That's what Apostle Paul says. That is how you can manage your time. So, practically speaking, if you want to say how to manage your time, fill your lives with the things of God and things of Christ. And I don't mean just, you know, listening to sermons. Listening to sermons is good, but that's only the part of it. It's also the meditating upon it. It's the appreciation of it. And it's the obeying and the application of it as well. Now, after this camp is over, many will soon forget the message already that is heard. The messages that you have heard in the morning devotion. You all spent, not morning, but morning messages. You have discussion, right? Okay, maybe sometimes you all spend a lot of time discussing over the messages. But do you all spend time reflecting on the messages that you have listened to and understood? Do you reflect? Are there sins I have to repent of? Are there areas of my life I have to change? Are there things that I should pursue after? Do you reflect? How to redeem the time? This is time management. Use your time for the things of Christ and the things of the Lord. Remember, time is short. And even in the short time that we have, the days are evil. What Christians ought to do then is to walk precisely. Walk in the Spirit. And walk in the Word of God. Let us pray. O Lord, our God, grant us thy wisdom, thy strength, we pray. How we may use our time and our lives which thou hast given to us, which is indeed so precious. O Lord, may we use it for thy glory. Forgive us if we have wasted away the years of our lives. We've wasted it in just worldly and sinful pleasures, wasted it in self, wasted it in shame. But show us how we can use our lives unto thee, this life that is indeed so precious. As the camp would soon end, may you still keep the teens here very close to thee. May they still remember thy word. They would be a blessing to others even in their lives. Help us, O Lord. Hear this our prayer. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.